From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Indonesian citizen called to do usual activity in the Malaysian election. Indonesia, Japan Business and Technology Symposium held in Jakarta. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Talat Pane. Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia, Rusdi Kirana, called the Indonesian citizens to do their activity as usual while Malaysia holds general elections on Thursday, May 9. Indonesian citizens are expected not to be affected by threats from certain parties currently circulating widely through social media. Rusdi Kirana in Kuala Lumpur on Tuesday appealed the Indonesian citizens who are visiting to Malaysia and living in the country not to be affected by information contains threats to foreign nationals residing in Malaysia.
Yang kami lihat semua normal ya, tidak ada perubahan apapun seperti hari-hari.
What we see is normal, nothing changes like the days before. There are nothing to worry. Please come to Malaysia. It is a party for democracy. All go well. If you have business, interest, or want to go for a traveling, outing, or business, family visit, please come here. Nothing to worry about. All runs normally. Do your activity as usual. It's just uncomfortable news. Everything is in normal. Previously, intimidation widely circulated through sword messages and WhatsApp that certain foreigners must not go out and disrupt the Malaysian election. Indonesia-Japan Business and Technology Symposium was held in Jakarta on Tuesday, May 8. This symposium was organized by the Embassy of Japan in the framework of Indonesia and Japan's 60-year diplomatic relations commemoration. When opening the symposium, expert staff of the Minister of Agriculture on Agricultural Infrastructure Affairs, Ani Andayani, said, "This event is a follow-up of the meeting between President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister of Japan in Bogor Palace in January." He said the Indonesian government strongly appreciated the relationship that has been established with the Japanese government over the past years. "There has been a lot of cooperation and transfer of technology and information from Japan to Indonesia so that the 60th anniversary of their relationship can be a momentum to enhance bilateral relations into a collaboration towards mutual prosperity." Through this symposium, the government hopes to sign an agreement between the two countries. One is the reduction of the entry fee for agricultural commodities. Secondly, minimizing non-tariff barriers for agricultural commodities. And three, technical cooperation for increasing agricultural commodities. Ani Andayani further explained, Indonesia-Japan relations, especially on the agricultural sector, has long been established. The trade value of Indonesia and Japan in 2017 has reached $1.2 billion. The export value of agricultural commodities to Japan has reached $1 trillion, which includes exports of pineapple, banana, vegetables, rubber, palm oil, coffee, cocoa, cotton, sugar, cane, sago, and others. On the same occasion, Ambassador of Japan to Indonesia, Masafumi Ishii, said Japan wanted to continue to contribute in the economic development of Indonesia. This diplomatic celebration is expected to provide benefits on advanced technology in Indonesia. In addition to Jakarta, the symposium is also held in Makassar, Medan, and Surabaya. Italy responds to the challenges faced by the world today by prioritizing dialogue, justice, law, and human rights. This was said by the Italian ambassador to Indonesia, Vittorio Sandalli, at the celebration of Italian independence in Jakarta on Tuesday, May 8. He said Indonesia and Italy have the same values in the field of peace. The two countries contributed in the UNIFIL. According to him, Indonesia and Italy currently have bilateral relations at a more advanced stage. This is proof from the intense political visits of both countries' high officials. Following the visit to Jakarta of Italian Minister of Economy and Development, Calenda, last May, which was accompanied by a delegation of 15 Italian major companies, and the visit of Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi to Rome last October, and also the visit of Minister of Energy Jonan, and the visit of Italian Foreign Minister to Indonesia last February, mark further stepping stone of our bilateral cooperation. Ambassador Sandalli further explained, cooperation between the two countries is growing in various sectors. In the economic field, both countries should facilitate economic actors to consolidate the last trends. In the field of people-to-people contact, there are visits from tourists of both countries and they have conducted interfaith dialogue. In the field of education, Italy has doubled the number of scholarships recipients from Indonesia, not only with Indonesia, Italy is also committed to strengthen relations with ASEAN countries. Indonesia is the largest country in Southeast Asia. Indonesia also has considerable influence for regional organizations in the region, namely ASEAN. Therefore, Indonesia will continue to contribute to the region and ASEAN that oversees it. One form of its contribution is to initiate the concept of Indo-Pacific cooperation. This was conveyed by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Retno Marsudi, to reporters on the sidelines of the 25th General Meeting Center for Strategic and International Studies and Pacific Economic Cooperation Council on Tuesday, May 8.
Indonesia adalah negara yang paling besar. Kita ekonomi terbesar.
Indonesia is the biggest country, we are the biggest economy, so we try to contribute more to ASEAN. There are many initiatives submitted by Indonesia to ASEAN and the last initiation. Among other things, I mentioned we intrigue a concept of Indo-Pacific cooperation. And in addition to ASEAN, we also talk to our partners, including with major US, Russian, Australian, China and others. Retno Marsudi added, another form of Indonesia's contribution to Southeast Asia and ASEAN is an effort to maintain the stability and peace of the region. Because the success of the region cannot be separated from the realization of stability and peace for approximately half a century. Taking the theme of global disorder, the need for new regional architecture and business model, a dialogue followed by experts and government officials addressed topics related to the need to take and develop new perspectives on cooperation and regional integration in the Asia-Pacific region. In addition, this forum will be attended by several other ministers from Cabinet, namely Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani and Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, in cooperation with the Union of Papua Football Community, UPFC, held a football tournament, Football for Peace 2018, in September. Before the tournament was held, Indonesian Foreign Ministry and UPFC would first host an exhibition of football matches involving ministers, ambassadors of friendly nations, and public figures at Sumantri Brojonegoro Stadium, Jakarta. In his speech at the Diplomatic Gathering Football for Peace 2018 event at the Diplomacy Cafeteria, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Jakarta on Tuesday, Indonesian Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fakhir appreciated the implementation of Football for Peace 2018 as part of Indonesia's diplomatic efforts.
Actually, this is the initiative by UNI Papua, which is provide facilities here for ambassadors, diplomatic corps, and other audience to join us again to support this initiative. We will make it annual event. So this is the second time that we'll make it annual event. Well, since it's, the theme is closely to our diplomacy, football for peace, diplomacy for peace, and humanitarian diplomacy, so that's why Uni Papua is part of Indonesian diplomacy.
A.M. Fakir added that Indonesia hopes for a joint team from South Korea and North Korea to compete in this exhibition tournament, especially the two countries have joined in a unification team of Korea at the Pyeongchang Olympics. On this occasion, Fakir also promoted Asia's biggest sporting event, the 2018 Asian Games, to be held from August 18 to September 2 in Jakarta and Palembang, South Sumatra. Indonesia will also host the Asian Paragames 2018 to be held on October 6 to 13 in Jakarta. UPFC was established in Papua in 2011 to foster isolated tribes in Papua through football. Currently, UPFC has been established in 34 communities in Papua, West Papua, East Nusa Tenggara, Bali, Java, Aceh, Kalimantan, and Sulawesi. Social football in Papua is also aimed at promoting human development as mandated in National Development and the UN Sustainable Development Goals programs. Experts, researchers, practitioners, observers and fees from research institution, university, government institution and market office resources are expected to synergize in sharing knowledge so that the conservation of fees in Indonesia can be maintained. As tropical country, Indonesia has various kinds of fees that need special attention for conservation. It was stated by head of limnology research of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Fauzan Ali, in the sidelines of the 10th National Seminar and the 5th Congress Indonesia Etiology Community at Science Center Botanical Garden of LIPI in Cibinong, Bogor, Jawa on Tuesday.
Ini yang paling penting adalah bagaimana menyampaikan hasil-hasil penelitian itu.
This is the most important thing, that how we deliver the result of this research. So we urge local government related to waters, ecosystem, and fisheries. We develop scarce commodity with the districts. We cooperate with local government of Samosir Regency to conserve Batak fish, which is almost extinct. Pora-pora fish, which was booming in 2013, now it is disappear. It must be our special attention, so it is not only object of research for researcher, but also how to address the output of research for the people.
Meanwhile, head of biology research of LIPI, Wicaksono, said there are still many people who lack of understanding on conservation and exploration of its sources, so the exploration of it has not been optimal. Therefore, he stressed that one of the efforts to encourage people's awareness on the exploration of fish is by communication and discussion between the researchers and practitioners that can be shared to the people. COMPAC Indonesia, a development cooperation program between Indonesia and the United States governments, which is aimed to reduce poverty through economic growth, has reached its final stage of implementation on April 2nd. Over the past 5 years, COMPAC Indonesia has contributed to national priorities in three key sectors: green prosperity, stunting prevention, and procurement modernization. This was conferred by the Minister of National Development Planning of the Republic of Indonesia, Bambang Brojonegoro, in the closing ceremony of COMPAC Indonesia in Ayana Mill Plaza, Jakarta, Tuesday, May 7. In the closing ceremony of COMPAC Indonesia in Ayana Mill Plaza, Jakarta, on Tuesday. The COMPAC Indonesia program, exactly on April 2nd, has ended its 5-year implementation period since April 2nd, 2013, through various activities, including three major projects: the Green Prosperity Project, Community Health and Nutrition Project to reduce stunting, and Procurement Modernization Project. Bambang Brojonegoro also added that through the Community-Based Health and Nutrition Project to reduce stunting, COMPAC Indonesia reached 2 million children under 5 in 11 provinces, 64 districts and 5,700 villages. Based on data, COMPAC Indonesia has succeeded in strengthening the government's commitment from village level to country's top leaders to work together across sectors to handle stunting. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with commentary for today entitling Vladimir Putin's Fourth Presidency. Vladimir Putin officially returned to the Russian presidency after winning the March 18 election. Putin took his oath on Monday, May 7, 2018, in an event attended by at least 5,000 people in the Kremlin. Entering his fourth term, Vladimir Putin reiterated his commitment to answering the country's survey's results that show that there is still a wide gap between the rich and poor in the country. His opponents, who held a demonstration against him during his last presidency, said Vladimir Putin ruled Russia as the Tsars of kings in the past. In contrast, supporters, in addition to praising his success in leading Russia, also believe that Vladimir Putin, now 65, will be able to increase Russia's role in the international arena. His victory in recent elections has made Vladimir Putin hold the post of Russian president for the fourth time. Despite one-time absence, Vladimir Putin has been in Russia's top position for the last 18 years. Putin served as Russia's president first in 2000 and was elected for the second time in 2004. Because the law prohibits a president from serving more than two consecutive terms, in 2008, Putin resigned. He then became prime minister under President Dmitry Medvedev. After serving as prime minister, Putin ran again for president and was elected in the 2012 elections. He was in office until 2018, when he was re-elected with 76% votes in elections. For Putin's success in becoming the president for the fourth time, U.S. President Donald Trump reportedly has congratulated him. Despite his winning 76% of the votes, some Russian people showed opposition to Putin by demonstrating at least in 19 cities. Police have arrested at least 1,000 protesters ahead of the inauguration. Whether the hopes and optimism of most Russian citizens will be realized, or the concern of those who opposed him will become a reality, only time will show. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. That was commentary.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on May 9, 1974. Judicial Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives opened impeachment investigation formally on Watergate scandal involved President Richard Nixon. Watergate scandal is the term usually used to describe several political scandals in the United States, which involved President Richard Nixon and caused horrendous constitution crisis in 1970s. During the presidential election campaign, the support group of Nixon from the Republican Party installing bugs at the National Democratic Committee office. Due to the incident, Judicial Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives opened the impeachment investigation formally against President Richard Nixon on May 9, 1974. Then President Nixon resigned from his post on August 8, 1974. In the incident, they also uncovered the facts about corruption cases conducted by the Republican Party in the collection of election funds, a secret list in the White House from Nixon's political opponents through phone taping, and slander spread to Democratic presidential candidates. On May 9, 1978, the body of former Italian Prime Minister Aldo Moro found in Rome. After more than a month of disappearance in a kidnapping, the body of former Italian Prime Minister Aldo Moro was finally found. One of the most important leaders of the Christian Democratic Party was found in Rome in the trunk of the car on May 9, 1978. The former prime minister and presidential candidate was kidnapped on March 6 by the extreme leftist terrorist group, the Red Brigade. The hardline group demanded the release of 13 prisoners of its militia members. Until now, various issues surrounding kidnapping still become mystery. We end today's segment of Today in History with an incident of Sukhoi Superjet 100 plane crashed at Mount Salak, Bogor, West Java. On May 9, 2012, Sukhoi Superjet 100 aircraft with flight number RA36801 crashed during a flight demonstration or joint flight. The aircraft departed from Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport, Jakarta, carrying 45 people. But shortly, the plane disappeared from the radar screen at 1,900 meters altitude and was expected to fall. Finally, on May 10, a bunch of Sukhoi Superjet 100 aircraft hit the rock cliff of Mount Salak, Bogor. The accident resulted all passengers killed. Based on the investigation results from the National Transportation Safety Committee, the crash of the Sukhoi Superjet 100 aircraft was due to human error. Listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome to My Indonesia. Today's topic entitled Indonesian Trade Ministry sends export-import training team to Afghanistan. The Ministry of Trade held an export-import training for Afghan businessmen in Kabul, Afghanistan. The training on export-import procedure takes place from May 7 to 9, 2018. The Ministry of Trade hoped that the training will contribute to improve trade relations and trade balance of Indonesia-Afghanistan in the future. Indonesian Export and Import Training Center, Directorate General of National Export Development of the Ministry of Trade, held the training as a capacity-building program in synergy with the Indonesian Embassy in Kabul. The training encourages Afghan businessmen to hold cooperation with Indonesian businessmen. The training materials focused on improving Indonesia-Afghanistan trade balance through export and import activities. In addition, the training also provides knowledge about international trade to entrepreneurs. It was said by the Director General of National Export Development, Arlinda on separate occasions in Jakarta on Monday, May 7. The import-export training in Afghanistan is a follow-up visit by President Joko Widodo to Afghanistan last January to boost economic and trade cooperation between the two countries. The training is also a form of support of the Indonesian president in an effort to bring peace to the people of Afghanistan. About 30 participants follow the training. The participants consist of Afghan businessmen who want to implement import-export activities with Indonesia and officials of Afghan government agencies. The export-import training is also one of Indonesia's ways to increase export to non-traditional export destination countries. Indonesia's export value to Afghanistan in 2017 was recorded at $20.2 million, while the value of Indonesian import from Afghanistan in 2017 was recorded at $29,000. Arlinda moreover said, Indonesian entrepreneurs have a great opportunity to increase export to Afghanistan so as to encourage greater economic growth. It can be seen from hundreds of Afghan buyers who visited the Trade Expo Indonesia in 2017. The Afghan buyers' visit resulted trade transactions amounting to $64,000. The main interesting products including household appliances, wood products, herbal products, paper, and paper products. The speakers in the export-import training came from practitioners in the field of export and import. The materials including introduction of Indonesian and Afghan potential products, an overview of export-import activities, export-import procedures and documents, export-import payment systems, transport procedures and handling of export-import cargoes, international trade provisions, calculations and export pricing, filling export documents, as well as success stories of exporters. That was today's segment of My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia, Rusdi Kirana, called the Indonesian citizens to do their activity as usual while Malaysia holds general elections on Thursday, May 9. Indonesia and Japan Business and Technology Symposium was held in Jakarta on Tuesday. This symposium was organized by the Embassy of Japan in the framework of Indonesia and Japan's 60-year diplomatic relations commemoration. Italy responds to the challenges faced by the world today by prioritizing dialogue, justice, law, and human rights. This was said by Italian Ambassador to Indonesia, Vittorio Sandelli, at the celebration of Italian independence in Jakarta on Tuesday. Indonesia is the largest country in Southeast Asia. Indonesia also has considerable influence for regional organizations in the region, namely ASEAN. Therefore, Indonesia will continue to contribute to the region and ASEAN that oversees it. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, in cooperation with the Union of Papua Football Community, held a football tournament, Football for Peace 2018, in September. Before the tournament was held, Indonesian Foreign Ministry and UPFC would first host an exhibition of football matches involving ministers, ambassadors, and friendly nations and public figures at Sumantri Brojonegoro Stadium, Jakarta. Experts, researchers, practitioners, observers on fees from research institutions, university, government institutions, and market of fees resources are expected to synergize in sharing knowledge so that the conservation of fees in Indonesia can be maintained. Compact Indonesia Development Cooperation Program between Indonesia and the United States governments, which is aimed to reduce poverty through economic growth, has reached its final stage of implementation on April 2nd. Over the past 5 years, Compact Indonesia has contributed to national priorities in three key sectors: green prosperity, stunting prevention, and procurement modernization. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Nyangku tradition at Panjalu Village, West Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, Nyangku traditional ceremony is a tradition which has existed in the kingdom of Panjalu. Until now, the tradition is still conducted every year by Panjalu people. The Nyangku tradition is carried out on Monday or Thursday of the month of Maulud or Rabiul Awal in an Islamic calendar. The aim is to commemorate the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which falls on the month of Rabiul Awal. Besides, the Nyangku tradition is conducted to commemorate Prabhu Sanghyang Borosngora service, the king of Panjalu who was a follower and spreading out Islam teachings in Panjalu. Listeners, Nyangku comes from Arabic language. Nyangku meaning to clean, but Sundanese people pronounce the word of Nyangku becoming Nyangku. The point of the tradition is to clean heirloom objects which belongs to Panjalu kingdom. Listeners, in the past, the family of Panjalu descent provided ingredients for Nyangku ceremony, such as red rice, which must be peeled by hand. The red rice was used as ingredient to make tumpeng and offerings. Tumpeng is a concept rice dish with additional dishes of vegetable and meat. To peel unhulled red rice has been begun since the date of first Maulid until one day before the implementation of the ceremony. Listeners, Nyangku ritual starts by making pilgrimage to the King Cemetery at Situ Lengkong, Panjalu. The ceremony usually starts at around 7:30 a.m. local time by putting out the heirloom objects from place, namely Bumi Alit. Afterwards, the heirloom objects are carried by being picked up by the descent of Panjalu King to Nusa Gede. Arriving at Situ Lengkong, the carriers of the heirloom objects, which were Muslim and Sundanese clothes, cross by boat to Nusa Larang. Then, the heirloom objects are paraded to small building at Nusa Larang. Listeners, the carriers of the heirloom objects are accompanied with tambourine's rhythm and salawat or prayers to the main stage where the ceremony is held to clean the heirloom objects. Thus, the heirloom objects are put on special mattress. And one by one, the heirloom objects begin to be opened from its wrapping. Then they are cleansed immediately by using water from seven springs and added with lime water. Washing the heirloom object starts from Prabhu Sanghyang Borosngora's ward. After that, it is continued with the others. After finished, those heirloom objects are smeared with special coconut oil. And then they are wrapped again with young coconut leaf and wrapped again with seven layers of white clothes and tied with thread. Afterwards, it is dried by using smoke of frankincense and being paraded to be stored again at Pasucian Bumi Alit. that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Nyangku Tradition at Panjalu Village. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which is introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is alamat rumah, or in English, home address. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about alamat rumah, or in English, home address. As usual, I will say every sentence slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Joko and Tony. They are in the area of Prambanan Temple. Tony wants to go to Joko's house, and he asks for Joko's address. Let's follow the conversation.
Joko, di mana alamat rumahmu?
Di Jalan Garuda, nomor 5 Sleman.
Oke, besok aku ke sana.
Oke, aku tunggu ya.
After the conversation, now I will introduce some expression related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Rumahmu. Rumahmu. In English, your house. Di mana alamat rumahmu? Di mana alamat rumahmu? In English, where is your home address? Jalan Garuda nomor 5. Jalan Garuda nomor 5. In English, Jalan Garuda number 5. Besok aku ke sana. Besok aku ke sana. In English, tomorrow I will be there. Aku tunggu ya. Aku tunggu ya. In English, okay, I will wait for you. To know someone's address, you can say di mana alamat rumahmu. If you want to know the office address of your friend, you can say di mana alamat kantormu. To answer the questions, you can say Jalan Garuda nomor 5 Sleman, or a complete answer, alamat rumah saya di Jalan Aster nomor 2 Senayan, Jakarta. After the conversation, now I will introduce some expression related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. Tony, di mana kamu tinggal? In English, where do you live? Joko, di Yogyakarta. In English, in Yogyakarta. Tony, di mana alamat rumahmu? In English, where is your home address? Joko, Jalan Garuda nomor 5, Sleman, Yogyakarta. In English, Garuda Street number 5, Sleman, Yogyakarta. In the dialogue,
You listen the word rumahmu. Mu is a possessive pronoun and shortening of the word kamu. The word rumahmu means rumah kamu or your house. Likewise, the word ku. Ku is a possessive pronoun and shortening of the word aku. Rumahku means rumah aku or rumah saya, or in English, my house. To know more about it, you can learn the use of possessive pronouns in Bahasa Indonesia. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Joko, di mana alamat rumahmu?
Di Jalan Garuda, nomor 5 Sleman.
Okay, besok aku ke sana.
Okay, aku tunggu ya.
As an exercise, please send us your voice recording in Indonesian language to our email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be interesting prize for the selected senders. Please describe a tourist spot in your country by mentioning the country's name, the name of the tourism object, the location, and the weather in that place. Please convey more information, if any. For example, Selamat pagi, negara saya Indonesia memiliki tempat wisata Candi Prambanan yang terletak di kota Yogyakarta. Cuaca sekitar Candi Prambanan panas. Gudeg adalah makanan khas Yogyakarta. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present some popular song from Fidi Aldiano. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Tak Sejalan by Fidi Aldiano. Happy listening.
Nyatanya tak sejalan, tak sejalan.
Harapan saja.
Tak sejalan.
Harapan saja. Tuhan mengatur jalan hidup manusia. Berusaha kita harus terus percaya. Keinginan hati terus aku kejar.
Nyatanya tak sejalan.
Nyatanya tak sejalan. Ku yakin kaulah yang membuatku bahagia. Kadangkala yang lain tak dapat ku percaya. Keinginan hati terus aku kejar.
Nyatanya tak sejalan.
Nyatanya tak sejalan.
Nyatanya tak sejalan.
Oh, ingin bersama denganmu selamanya. Namun nyatanya kau dengannya. Harapan kini hanyalah
harapan saja, harapan saja. Oh, ku yakin kau lah yang membuatku bahagia. Kadangkala yang lain tak dapat ku percaya. Keinginan hati terus aku kejar.
Nyata-nyata
sejalan. Mungkin ini waktu untuk kita berhenti berharap, berhenti berharap, meski hati ini ingin bersama denganmu, denganmu selamanya. Harapan saja, semua tak sejalan.
Listener, the song Tak Sejalan was the latest single released by Fidi Aldiano in early April 2018. The song tells the story about the man who wished to be in love with the beloved girl. However, he is disappointed because the girl has already chose another one. Tak Sejalan is one of the songs made by Fidi Aldiano when he was on vacation in the United States. The song Tak Sejalan was taken from the experience of watching a musical performance in Broadway, which according to Fidi Aldiano managed to touch the audience. So, Fidi wanted to make similar music through the song Tak Sejalan. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Definisi Bahagia by Fidi Aldiano featuring Andi Rianto. Happy listening.
Debar kencang bergema di darah tiap kali jumpa dirinya. Bercampur semua rasa yang ada dan hatiku bertanya-tanya, apakah mungkin dia definisi bahagia? Dengannya ku bersedia habiskan usia. Kan ku petik bintang di langit ketujuh, asalkan hati memang setuju. Pada hatimu ku terjatuh, ajaklah hatiku menari hingga tiada sedih di hati. Jadilah sebuah definisi bahagia yang selalu ku nanti. Debar kencang bergema di darah dan hatiku bertanya,
ceria. Habiskan usia. Memang setuju pada hatimu ku terjatuh. Ajaklah hatiku menari hingga tiada sedih di hati. Jadilah sebuah definisi bahagia yang selalu ku nanti. Aku harap engkau mengerti, kalau yang selalu ku nanti hadirkan bahagia di hati.
Kan ku petik bintang di langit ketujuh, asalkan hati memang satu.
Listener, that was the song Definisi Bahagia by Fidi Aldiano. The song was inspired by the people closest to Fidi Aldiano, such as friend, family, and producers. The song Definisi Bahagia by Fidi was released in two versions. The first version is cheerful and dynamic nuance, while the second version, rearranged with Andi Rianto, has solemn nuance. In the Indonesian entertainment industry, Fidi Aldiano has undergone various changes, but in terms of music and appearance, not only play in front of the screen as a singer and actor, Fidi Aldiano was also ventured to be a music producer. Through his record label, VA Records, Fidi Aldiano wants to realize his dream of becoming a businessman. However, Fidi will not stop entertaining especially his fans and the whole Indonesian music lovers. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Hingga Nanti featuring Andin and Terbenar. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Saat ku tuliskan namamu di hati, takkan ku sesali dirimu hadir dan menjadi detak di jantungku. Detak di jantungku hingga nanti lemah langkahku, hingga nanti putih rambutku, hingga ku kalut.
kita yang kan ku ingat selalu.
Ku sisipkan kata pinta dalam doa, hadirmu kan tetap ada,
tak akan
ku sesali dirimu hadir dan menjadi detak di jantungku.
Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Kau jelas miliki sesuatu, namun entah hati masih meragu. Tiap tak bersamamu, tak ku rasakan rindu.
Thank you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia Time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.